Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All right, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the fifth day of April 2024. Flyers Daily presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. Flyers back in action tonight on the road, kicking off a four-game road trip. Tonight they are in Buffalo to take on the Sabres. Tomorrow it'll be Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets. And a couple of days rest before the Flyers head to Montreal Tuesday to take on the Canadiens. And then Thursday next week, 6 days from now, it'll be the Flyers and the New York Rangers. Then they return home for the final two games of the regular season. New Jersey on the 13th and the Washington Capitals on the 16th. Buffalo. Real quick on Buffalo. That's where the Flyers' task at hand. Buffalo's last game, they actually beat the Washington Capitals 6-2 on their home ice. They've got wins of recent against Calgary, also against New Jersey. They beat Seattle on the road a little while back. The road for Buffalo, they're not really in the mix here in the Eastern Conference, although it seems like just about everybody is all of a sudden. Buffalo sitting at 77 points. They're in the sixth spot of the Atlantic Division of the Eastern Conference through 76 games, 36-35-5, 77 points, 5-5 in their last 10. But when you look at their remaining schedule, for them to get in, it's a murderer's row. This is unbelievable. Flyers tonight, then Sunday they're at Detroit, Tuesday at Dallas, Thursday they have Washington at home, and then their last two games are on the road against Florida and Tampa Bay. Oofa, that is a tough way to finish out a 2023-24 season, and they have the fifth hardest strength of schedule of remaining games. Do the Buffalo Sabres. So it'll be the Flyers and Buffalo tonight. We don't need to go crazy on the details and the preview of this game. We know it's of the magnitude of importance is so high for the Flyers, who have lost five straight. Yeah, two of those were in overtime and they got a point out of them. But all said and done, Flyers need points. When you look at the Flyers' remaining strength of schedule, 23rd highest points percentage of opposition teams against. They still have the New York Rangers, which you would deem as a tough opponent, but that's about it. I mean, Buffalo tonight, they're below you in the standings. These teams can play spoiler, as we've seen. And then you look at a team like Montreal, who just beat the Flyers, or Columbus, who Flyers should take care of. But the teams they're battling with, and let's look at the standings from last night. We're going to empty out the inbox here in the episode as well, go through some Flyer fan emails. But last night on the NHL card, a really big night of important games here as we come down the stretch. The push for the playoffs is on. I mean, we're here on April 5th, and things are insanely tight and yet to be determined. That much we know. So the games of consequence last night. The Penguins go into Washington, and they beat the Caps 4-1. It's good news on one hand and not great news on the other hand. The Penguins, all of a sudden, are in the mix. We'll talk about the standings in a second, but they go into Washington and grab 2 points off the Caps. Ovechkin had a goal in the game, but the Caps go down. Bruins beat the Canes, not really of any much consequence here to the playoff picture. The other game of consequence is the New York Islanders. They go into Columbus, who the Flyers will see tomorrow, and they beat the Blue Jackets by a final score of 4-2. Two third period goals for the New York Islanders. They get the 2 points, so they get the boost in the standings. So what are the updated standings based on these results? Well, the Rangers still lead the division at 106 points. Carolina still number two at 101. And despite the fact that the Flyers haven't played since Monday and got that 1 point in the overtime loss against the Islanders, that's a difference for them. 76 games played for the Flyers, 36-29-11, and they have 83 points. Tampa, wild card number one, they're out of reach. They're 10 points up. The New York Islanders now move into wild card number two. The Islanders have played the same amount of games as the Flyers, same amount of points as the Flyers. The difference is that the Flyers have 36 wins in regulation. The Islanders have 34, so the Flyers own that tiebreak. The Caps, who lose last night, don't grab any standings points, still have one game in hand on the Flyers, but are now 1 point back. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They've lost four straight. They're taking on water like the Flyers. Detroit, who was not in action last night, 75 games played, so one game in hand on the Flyers, 1 point back if they're battling for this wild card position. And all of a sudden, I was one of the dirt in the shovel crew on the Pittsburgh Penguins, but they're back in the mix. Are you kidding me? The Pittsburgh Penguins now through 76 games, same amount of games as the Flyers, 35-30-11, 81 points and 2 points back. They've won three straight and they're 6-2-2 in their last 10 games. Are the Penguins going to be an issue here? I mean, as of right now, you'd say they are an issue. When you look at the Penguins, though, their remaining schedule, the strength of their remaining schedule, they have the fourth hardest in the NHL. They still got to play Boston. They still got to play Toronto. They got to play Tampa. And they got to play Nashville. They have the Islanders and they have Detroit. Detroit's a tough team, too. I mean, you look at their six games, all of those teams are either in or battling for a playoff spot. Going to be really tough for the Penguins. But they're back in the conversation. As far as the Washington Capitals, they have the ninth hardest strength of remaining schedule. They still have Boston, Carolina, and Tampa. They also have the Flyers, Detroit, Buffalo, and Ottawa. But they have seven games. Flyers have six games. Detroit still has the Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, Pittsburgh, Washington, Buffalo, and the Montreal Canadiens. So things are just, this is insanely tight. Oh, the Islanders. Let's look at the Islanders' strength of remaining schedule. The New York Islanders, they're the team tied with the Flyers in points. For goodness sake, I shouldn't just gloss over them. They have the eighth hardest strength of remaining schedule. They still have the Rangers and Nashville, and they also have games against Montreal, New Jersey, and Pittsburgh. So not an easy schedule for them either. Flyers have the advantage from a schedule perspective here, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the Flyers just lost to Montreal. They lost to Chicago. So strength of remaining schedule, while it looks really daunting, obviously for a team like Pittsburgh or a team like the New York Islanders, you throw it all out the window this time of year and how you respond and how the teams can play in these situations. I am so glad that the Flyers are going on the road, because they have answered the bell when things got sideways this season when they went on the road. So we're hoping they can answer that bell again. All right, I thought this was a good opportunity in the second half of this podcast, beyond the preview and what happened last night, to go through a little email purge, to go through a few things. So I want to get to this first email and then talk about it real quick, and we'll get to a couple of other ones as well. And this first email comes from Jeff. He says, "Hi, Jason. I really enjoy your daily podcast as well as Hockey and Hounds. You provide good information and are an underrated interviewer." He said, "My take on this season is that the Flyers are an average team and that John Tortorella has done well to have the players buy into his system, which has resulted in them playing meaningful games in April. Tortorella taking some responsibility for their play of late is honorable, but at the end of the day, there just isn't enough talent on this team to make the playoffs. They've had to expend so much energy just to be in the position they're in, compounded with the loss of Hart, the trade of Walker, a horrific power play, and the terrible second half of Couturier has had. It's just too much to overcome. While they did get great value for Walker, it's tough to lose a puck-carrying defenseman, and at their peak this season, the ability of the defenseman to start the rush or join it was a major factor in their success. Nonetheless, it's been a great ride this season. I have my fingers crossed they still could get in. The Flyers are on the right path, and if they add talent next year and possibly lose some dead weight from the current roster, I feel good about their playoff chances going forward. I just hope that Tortorella doesn't lose the team if they were to not make the playoffs this year. Keep up the good work. Best regards, Jeff." All right, so a couple things with Jeff's email. Are they an average team? Yeah, but probably maybe average, slightly above average. Which is better than I thought they would be. I didn't think that they would be where they are, and I did not think that here on April 5th they'd be battling for a playoff spot in the final week of a season with six games to go and all to play for and kind of control their own destiny because they're in and other teams are trying to take their spot. As far as, you know, Torts kind of falling on his sword being honorable, absolutely. I think that's a really important thing in sports, whether you're a player or a coach or whatever it is, that when you see that something that you haven't done good enough or something that you have done or your performance or your play has been detrimental to winning, I think you take ownership of that. I mean, look, I didn't play in the NHL, but I remember in my days playing. I played a very consequential position of goalie. But if I stunk in a game, I was not going to go into the room and pretend I didn't. I'd walk into the room and go, boys, I stunk out loud today. If you guys would have scored 8 goals, I'd have given up 9. If you'd have scored 5, I'd have given up 6. And it's on me. You got to take ownership of that. Now, as far as, you know, the team and not enough talent, I think there's more talent here than we originally thought. And obviously there's a little less now with Walker being gone and having Ristolainen out of the lineup and some injuries that they've dealt with. Now they're missing Couturier, even though, as you said, he's had a very poor second half, certainly statistically, and his minutes are down. So the impact of that may be mitigated slightly. But when you look at the situation that they're in and where they are right now, I don't have this as I hope they get in. I don't think they're talented enough to not get in. I look at this way. It's kind of simple. I look at this team, what it's done this season. And yeah, it's a little different now, and they've had to play hard, and there's a cumulative effect to that, for sure. But I've looked at this team respond all season in different spots when things started to get a little sideways. And they're certainly sideways right now. And they've had these inflection points throughout the year. Look, a lot of teams in the murky middle where the Flyers are right now battling for a playoff spot, their results page looks very similar. There's a bunch of green, then there's a bunch of red. And there's kind of on and off here and there, red, green, red, green. Green is a win, red's a loss. But the Flyers have been down this road before and have responded every time. Now, their record of late, we know what they've done lately. It hasn't been good. They've now lost 5 straight. 2 of those games were in overtime. Yeah, you get a point. But they've lost 6 out of 7 games. They have 6. They didn't win 6 out of their last 7 games. If you go back earlier this season, they had a stretch where they lost to Anaheim at Wells Fargo Center. They lost to Dallas in Dallas, their second road game of the year. Then they lost to Vegas, that 3-2 game. Came home, they beat Minnesota. Then they lost to Anaheim, Carolina, and Buffalo. Then beat Buffalo, and then lost to Los Angeles and San Jose. Really tough stretch there. You're talking about 7. They lost 7 of 9 games. And that was an inflection point. But right after that, they went on to win 5 straight. They beat Anaheim. They beat Los Angeles on the road. They beat Carolina on the road. They came home. They beat Vegas in overtime. And they beat Columbus. Then they lost 4 out of their next 5, and then they went on to win 4 straight games and 7 of their next 8. Okay, so another stretch of play, December 29th through January 8th. They lost 5 of 6 games, 2 of those games in extra time. They lost to Seattle, Calgary, Edmonton, and Columbus in a shootout. They beat Calgary, and then they lost to Pittsburgh 4-1. After that, they went on to win 5 straight. They beat Montreal in a shootout. They beat Minnesota on the road. They beat Winnipeg 2-0 on the road. Winnipeg was the best team in the league at the time. They beat the St. Louis Blues on that Monday night, 4-2 in St. Louis. Then they came home, and they beat Dallas 5-1. Then they proceeded to lose 6 straight games. And then they came back and won 4 straight games. This is kind of a recurring theme. So every time that they've had the chance to bounce back after struggling, they've done so this year. And I think that means something. I think the equity of them answering that bell time in and time out this season deserves a little bit of equity. Maybe faith. I'm not sure what the right word is. But we'll see where it goes. What's in front of them right now, and I agree with John Tortorella, I think going on the road right now is the best thing that could happen for the group. You have a game tonight in Buffalo, tomorrow night in Columbus. Then they're going to come home real quick and then go back out on the road for their final 2 road games of the season, where they'll take on the Montreal Canadiens on Tuesday night, and then they'll head to New York to take on the New York Rangers on Thursday night. And then they'll come home for the final 2, New Jersey and Washington. But I think the road trip is at a perfect time. If you look at the other part of this and you look at when they came out of these stretches where they struggled, most times, they came out of it on the road. So they're going to look to do that again. Great email, though. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for sending it. And you can always send emails at jason.mertitus, M-Y-R-T-E-T-U-S, ChrisUS@gmail.com. You can DM me. You can hit me on Twitter or DM me. And you can also post comments below if you're watching on YouTube. Let's get to Krista. She sends in an email. She says, "Hi, Jason. After you gave your email address in the latest Flyers Daily, I wanted to send you a quick note to let you know how much I appreciate your show. I'm a brand new spanking Flyers fan and even a hockey fan in general." He said, "My boss gave me tickets to the January 6th game against the Flames," which I just referenced, actually, "and I've watched every game since. Even was able to attend three more." Oh, that's awesome. Good job by your boss, by the way. Stick taps to him. He said, She said, "I came across your podcast after a quick search and enjoy listening to your daily takes on the team and the games. And I've been able to learn so much so quickly from you. And it has helped me feel even more immersed into the sport." She said, "I was at the last game and got to see the Fedotov, which was so exciting. And I'm glad you were able to interview him and ask him insightful and thoughtful questions. It's nice to listen to an interviewer not out looking to bring drama, but just genuinely loves the sport. Sorry to ramble, but I just wanted to thank you. I really enjoy your podcast and look forward to listening, learning, and getting a Flyer fix, even when it isn't game day. Take care, Krista." Krista, thank you for the email and certainly the kind words. A couple things on what you said. I am a firm believer that the best way to grow hockey fandom, Flyer fandom, whatever team you root for, and the way to bring new fans into your sport is to educate them so they know what they're watching. It's one thing that I think the NFL has done unbelievably well. The NFL, through all the shows that are on television, the analysis in game, and look, that sport lends to it because it's play analysis, you know, video, you know, different kinds of camera angles and all that stuff. It really lends to teaching the game. And I think that of all sports fans in North America, I think the overall feel like they are, and I believe they are, the most educated on football. And it doesn't mean you had to play football. You don't have to play. You can be educated on a sport even if you didn't play it, and you can get educated on a sport at any time in life. So I think the best way to grow hockey fans is so they understand more of what they're seeing. Because, I mean, I can imagine people that just tune into it, maybe later as an adult or whatever, and you see it and you kind of go, it just looks like chaos on ice. It's not. There is a ton of strategic elements to it, whether it's the way you defend as a five-man unit, being on the right side of the puck. What does being on the right side of the puck even mean? Like, some people would hear that and go, what the hell are you talking about? But all of those things, educating people on the game is, I think, the best way to grow the game. And it's also, to your next point about Ivan Fedotov, it's why I love talking goaltending, because people, I think that's the hardest position to understand, because they go, the guy's job's to stop the puck, see puck, stop puck. Well, it's not that simple, and all shots are not created equal. I go back and I look at every goal four that the Flyers have and every goal they allowed several times to figure out how it happened, why it happened, was there a mistake, and what was the read by the goaltender? Did he take enough ice coming out to make himself big? Was there a backdoor threat so he couldn't do that? I look at all of that stuff because I want to understand, to evaluate that player in that position. I think you need to have all the details of what the goaltender was reading and what was going through his mind and where he felt threats. I always think that's really important. As far as insightful and thoughtful questions with Ivan. Look, it wasn't the easiest interview I've ever done because, as you could hear in the Ivan Fedotov interview, his English is not great. I think sometimes he was just kind of struggling to figure out what I was asking, and that's going to get better. His English is going to get better for sure the longer he's here. But yeah, I'm not an interviewer that's ever looking to bring drama. I know there's a lot of people in media or content creation that's kind of their thing, the clickbait people. I just find that so disingenuous and insulting, frankly, to the people that consume it. If you have like a faux outrage or faux take just to get clicks or try and get a soundbite, to me, that's just disrespecting your audience in a huge, huge way. It's just a way that I never chose to operate and never will. My man Simon sends an email in. Simon Costigan. He's usually a DMer, I believe. He said, I hope my email finds you well. Yep. He said, I've DM'd you before, and this is my first email. Welcome to the email chain. He said, I wanted to write to thank you for such a great episode that covered your interview with Ivan Fedotov and the Torts Media Availability, which I've now listened to 4 times. Both were fantastic in their own right. He said, Ivan is clearly getting used to his new surroundings, new teammates, new city, and the myriad of other things he has to consider. I find this such a heartwarming story, and it's clear from what he said, the Flyers organization have gone above and beyond to get him to Philadelphia. Yeah, Simon, I think there was a lot of resilience there. I think a lot of general managers would have given up. I've said this before that, you know, Danny Briere opens up the junk drawer in his house and sees all these cluttered wires and figures the junk drawer is going to look a lot better and it's not going to bother me as much if I untangle all these. Me, I just shut the door. I just shut it and go, I'll look at it another day. He's not afraid of untangling the wires. And clearly there was a lot of resilience there as well. Simon goes on to say, the Torts presser, wow, you hit the nail on the head when you use the word vulnerability as a leader. And that's what a coach is. It's so refreshing to see a person have so much self-awareness. His openness, honesty, and humility are what makes great leaders. Simon says, my job is to deliver change initiatives into large organizations, and this is the challenge Torts is facing. Change is hard, and the hardest thing in all of it is changing behaviors. People love being in their comfort zone, and moving them to a different place to experience success is incredibly difficult. I agree. People are dug in. I've always done it this way. It's got to be the best way. Sometimes that's not the case. And he says, finally, thanks for all you do. As a Flyers fan living in the UK, your daily pod gives me the insight I need to keep my passion alive no matter what happens from here on in. It's been a hell of a season. Cheers, Simon. Cheers to you, Simon. Thanks for the email once again. And keep them coming. Great stuff. I love hearing from Flyer fans in other countries across the pond and in Europe. It's just awesome stuff. There's Flyer fans everywhere. And I get emails or DMs. I got an email from a guy in Russia the other day. I get emails and DMs from Finland and Estonia. I got one recently from. I mean, it's really cool. Let's get to one more. And this one comes from Dr. Ken. He says, Jason, my meter is in almost panic mode after seeing us finally get possession in an OT, have it for over a minute, only to see not one shot, turnover, goal the other way, and a much-needed point gone by the wayside, of course referring to Monday's game against the New York Islanders. He said, however, I cannot see this team not fighting to the end with putting themselves in this position since November, and the resilience they have shown will serve them well at this point. Need a minimum of 10 points, but all 12 points may be needed to make it in. I do not see the Caps and Wings winning all their games in hand and see us getting in. Last game versus the Cap may be the big one. Your thoughts? Okay, I don't think you'll need 10 points, first and foremost. I think that's a little over the number that I think you need. Would I love 10 points in the final 6 games? Oh, hell yeah. That'd be phenomenal. I think you can get in maybe with 8. But that being said, there's 12 points available. If you can get 10, I think you're all but a lock to get in because of tiebreakers as well. Ken also says, well, let me speak to one other thing that he said. This team fighting to the end. It's kind of what I talked about before. Every time they've had their back against the wall, every time the dreaded dirt and shovel crew comes out when they have a stumble in an 82-game season and the people are there with the dirt and their shovel ready to throw it on their grave, they've responded. They have responded all year long. If they don't now, it would be out of character. So we'll see if they look. Things are a little bit different now. There's the cumulative effect of the way they've played all season, how hard they've played. There's some attrition, obviously, with injuries and no Sean Walker. The goaltending's not the strength it was in the first half that it was in the second half after Carter Hart left. We'll see what the Ivan Fedotov factor plays into that, not just for him playing games, but what having that competition of Ivan Fedotov does to Sam Harrison. I thought Harrison played great when he was being pushed for the crease along with Carter Hart. Kenneth went on to say, I'm curious as to why Tyson Forster has not garnered any attention for the Calder. I'm not saying he should win, but he most definitely should be on the ballot. He will surpass 20 goals. Not has become, but is a very strong 200-foot player and is a top-5 rookie this season. He has impressed me this season, and I am looking forward to his future outlook a future 30-goal scorer for sure. And he said, one other question, do you feel Ginning or Attard are in the Flyers' defensive plans? I like Ginning's size, but it's not a bad thing to have too many right-shot defensemen. As far as Tyson Forster goes, I think he will be on the ballot. He's had a really good year, and he's had a really good year despite the whole first part of it not scoring. Didn't score a lot of goals. Now he's at 20. I think he's had a really good year, and I think the thing about Tyson Forster that kind of maybe sets him apart a little bit is I did not expect him to be a very good 200-foot player. I thought his skating might be an issue, at least initially in the NHL, until he got adjusted to the game and could figure out how to not make it an issue by the way he thinks the game. But the skating has never looked to be a problem or has been a problem. He's played in 71 games this year. He's got 20 goals, 13 assists, 33 points. He's a plus five. He sees over 17 minutes of ice time. He's got four power play goals, four power play assists, a shorthanded goal, shooting percentage at 13.1%. I think that might even go up higher in seasons to come. But, yeah, I think Tyson Forster will be on the Calder ballot. Bedard's probably going to end up winning it because it's a bit of a popularity contest and kind of a contest of who's going to end up being the most effective NHL player, and that'll be Bedard. But Tyson Forster's had a very, very good year. I've been very impressed with him. As far as Ginning and Attard for the defensive plans, that's going to depend on this offseason. You know, is Rasmus Ristolainen returning? Is he a player that may be dealt this offseason? His name was out there earlier. I think, you know, York and Sanheim are set. Obviously, Nick Seeler signed the contract extension and Jamie Drysdale. So your third pairing, what is your third pairing going to be? Now you have Emil Andre spending an entire year for the most part, played six games for the Flyers with the Phantoms this year, getting a ton of minutes, playing all situations. Is he ready to come up and take a third pairing spot, maybe some power play on that third pairing? I think that's a distinct possibility. And I think that's the one player that stands in Ginning's way. I think if Ginning doesn't see kind of the path here, he may return to Sweden this summer. We'll see what happens. As far as Attard goes, again, that's going to depend big time on Rasmus Ristolainen. Bonk's not ready to come here just yet. There's still a lot more seasoning that has to take place there. He's having a great year with London in the OHL. But I think Attard more so than Ginning, but I do like Ginning. But I do think Emil Andre is going to be a guy. I mean, he pushed them to a decision this year. Next year at training camp, he's going to push them to a decision that's not going to be that difficult to make. He stretches the ice. He gives you a lot of those things that Sean Walker gave you from the left side, that Walker gave you on that right side. So, yeah, I think that Emil Andre will be that guy that kind of bumps Ginning out of the top six for next year. And then, obviously, we'll see if there's any big moves made or anything like that. I don't put anything past Danny Briere and Keith Jones. I think they're going to be looking at everything and considering everything and making prudent decisions. If there's a deal to be made out there for a player that can help you now and long-term, I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen at all. Really wouldn't. That's not any inside knowledge or anything like that. That's just kind of how I see it. And we'll see how it plays out. All right, one more thing here real quick. I just wanted to comment on this YouTube comment I got as well. And it came from Kenneth. He said, my biggest question mark for this Flyers team is who will be the number one goalie now that Hart is gone, and where are they going to get more offense in a system where a team is blocking shots? I don't think a lot of the better offensive players are going to want to play that style of hockey. I responded to Kenneth here, and I'm not sure if Kenneth's been watching really closely this season, but the Flyers are not a defensive-oriented team. Yeah, they block shots. Nick Seeler blocks a ton. Cam York blocks a ton. When you're defending, you need to do that. But they're not a team that collapses in their D zone in any way, shape, or form and just sells out to defend and goes, okay, we'll try and capitalize on our minimal offensive chances. That's not who they are anymore. Not even close. I think they're the third team in the NHL in chances in transition, and I think they're fourth in the NHL in goals off the transition. That is not a team that collapses defensively. That's a team that is going to incur a little risk, fly to the zone at times, and get out in transition. And that is a system that high-flying offensive players love to play in. I know it doesn't fit the narrative about Torts. There's a lot of things about Torts in the narrative that don't fit. Like, oh, he's going to wear out his welcome, and he'll be gone in 2 years. Well, that's never happened. He had the 1 year in Vancouver. Other than that, 7 years, 6 years, 6 years. He has an average of 6.3 years per tenure. The NHL average is under three. And he's not a guy that's gotten himself canned or left a situation after 2-3 years. Just hasn't happened, other than Vancouver. But other than that, that's not been the case. That's not been the method of. And there was a time probably when he was more defensive-oriented, but his forecheck system is very aggressive. Got everybody coming forward. If a D comes in, a forward, F3, the highest forward, has got to cover that spot. But they want to attack. And offensive players want to attack. That's what they look for. They look for ways to attack, and put up stats, and goals. All right, Flyers, Sabres tonight. Will the Flyers end this skid, do so on the road, and grab two insanely important points? We shall see. We'll break it down, and we'll preview Flyers, Blue Jackets coming up on tomorrow's Flyers Daily.